Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, folks. It's Jim Hansen sitting in for Mr. Gaffney, who will be back tomorrow. He has been at the Electronic Infrastructure Summit making sure nobody blows up our power grid. And we're talking now with David Bellavia. David was the author of what is my favorite book about the war in Iraq, House to House. And that was a story of the Second Battle of Fallujah, which was really, in most everybody's mind, our biggest set-piece battle since probably Vietnam. And was a horrendous fight against not just the insurgents there in Iraq, but what David liked to call the jihadi all-star team from all over the world. Everybody with a beef who came there to fight, and we kicked their ass. The problem is, those guys are now back in Fallujah under the same black flag because we cut and ran when Obama decided to end the war in Iraq. David, I can't imagine that doesn't make you a little bit angry.
You know, it's so funny because it's like I almost feel like I've gone through all the stages, you know, like the denial, the acceptance, the anger. But I'm just stuck on that anger. You know, I've never had any connection to a Vietnam veteran. You know, you served, you know, during Beret. When you talk to those Vietnam vets, there's always that, you know, these guys were treated so poorly and with such disrespect. And it's always, you know, when we came home, whether it was the Cold War, the Gulf War, or the war on terror, I mean, we get free tickets to SeaWorld and Budweiser commercials, and they love us. And for the first time, I actually feel a little bit of a kindred spirit to that Vietnam warrior, because this has cheapened our sacrifice. That, you know, we get it. We understand, Mr. President, that we fought in the bad war. There's no living Medal of Honor recipient from Iraq.
Which is a disgrace.
The Afghanistan conflict constantly are bringing that up. You know, we can't talk about the valor in Iraq out loud, not in Hollywood. We can't do it, you know, in Washington. We can't honor anything that was accomplished of any purpose. And this entire generation has been told, on your DD-214, you might have done two tours in Iraq, but let's just talk about Afghanistan. That was a good war. That was, Iraq was the war of choice. The war based on bad intelligence, the war that we all wish we could forget. And now that it's on the front pages every day, it just is more and more difficult to swallow.
So you're getting that feeling, though, in the same way that the Vietnam guys said they won the war, the politicians lost it. In this case, we won the war, the politicians lost the peace. We won the war. We could have stayed like we have every place else we've won a war. Peaceful places like Germany and Italy and Japan and Korea, where I've been to all of those. They're wonderful, vibrant democracies because we stayed to help the people. We may not have built a Shangri-La in Iraq, but by leaving, we let it turn right back into the Islamist hellhole it was when you were there, dude. And I understand that. And I guess at this point, do you see any way to get beyond that? Do you have any hope that it's not going to just be a lost cause?
Well, I hope that we'll have a new administration in 2016 that will at least acknowledge that, you know, if we allow, you know, the ISIS forces to create an area that's eastern Syria and western Iraq and large areas that they can just operate. You talked about this maybe 9 years ago, this ninja war of drones. You know, liberals love the Air Force. It's the only branch of service to a liberal. You drop a bomb, you can fight the war on terror with drones. And nothing is further from the truth. The idea that you can just fly drones everywhere. Well, guess what happens when a drone crashes in Iran? They steal the technology. They have drones. We're now losing the technological fight, you know, in the arms race for drones. Our enemy has them. They're on our highways. for Pete's sake. They're enforcing traffic. I mean, what we thought was going to be the salvation, it always is going to come down to boots on the ground. It's always going to come down to showing force. And I'm telling you that if we allow Iraq to become what the enemy wants it to become or is becoming, everything we did in Afghanistan from 2002 on is a complete waste.
Well, now, all right, Iran sent boots on the ground, right? That's really the most painful piece of this is we left and the Iranians now have combat troops in Baghdad supporting the Iraqi government, Maliki's Shia government, and he's obviously been a tool of the Iranians forever. And now it's right. It's become an open support. I don't think we're going to send combat forces. And as much as I agree with you that drones aren't the way, why can't we do a highway of death redux? We've got Apaches on the way over there. When the next time those clowns send their Toyota pickup truck convoy down the highway, why can't we turn it into flaming rubble?
Well, I mean, of course we can.
All right, will we? There you go. Will we?
No, absolutely not. Because, first of all, I don't think the Iranian influence in Iraq is nearly as devastating as Putin coming into Iraq. I think that the fact that you now have Russian pilots that are flying sortie missions under the Iraqi flag. I mean, think about all, forget Benghazi, forget Algeria, forget all of the things that this president zigged when he should have zagged. Realize that every single area that was an ally of ours in the last 4 years has now switched over to the Russian side. Egypt is influenced heavily by Russia. We now have lost Iraq to Russia. We bled. We spent billions of dollars on infrastructure, and now the Russians are going to get the oil and have that sphere of influence. And it's like Putin is a bully on the block that this president just doesn't want to confront. But I believe that the biggest problem with taking these guys out as they come in from Syria is that as we're dealing with this in real time, the situation with ISIS, this president has asked for $175 million to support moderate rebels in Syria. And it's no mistake that if you do a Google image on the forces on the ground in Libya while Gaddafi was alive, you are going to see the same make, model, and probably VIN number of that same pickup truck that was in Libya
right.
That is now coming from Syria. I mean, this enemy that we're fighting that is butchering people in Iraq, this president got in front of the nation and asked us to lock shields with. So are we going to become Al-Qaeda's Air Force? Are we going to become Assad's Ba'athist Air Force? Are we going to help the Iranians? Are we going to help Putin? I literally look at Jimmy Carter as if he was Roosevelt at these horrible times. You know, and to me, this explains the World Cup fever, because we are so desperate for good news. We're so desperate
that we'll even watch soccer. Yeah.
We'll even watch soccer if it gives us some pride. This nation is so schizophrenic in our foreign policy that we really don't have any ally, even Saudi Arabia. I mean, do you know how many Sunni countries wanted Iran to not have a nuclear device? And now we've come up with a way to screw that up. I mean, we were literally talking about airspace being freed up over Iraq and Saudi so the Israelis could defend themselves. And now that entire area is gone in the event that Israel has to strike.
Well, and at this point, I don't know that anybody is going to put any influence on the ground from our side. You know, I mean, we've got 300, somewhere between 300 and 700 advisors on the ground who are covered by the what they call a diplomatic note instead of the status of forces agreement Obama refused to negotiate. And I don't see that they're going to have a mission that matters. I would advise them to tell the Iraqis to call Putin, you know, tell him to send more stuff because he'll do it. And I don't think we will.
Well, you know, the 300 led by King Leonidas might have had a fighting chance. But, you know, unfortunately, you've got what this guy is up against the Persian king, and he's the weaker, you know, party in every negotiation. Understand that President Bush managed to get immunity for, what, 165,000 troops he got diplomatic immunity for, you know, during the Standard Force Agreement in 2007. And this president couldn't get 25,000 troops covered.
Folks, we've been talking with David Bellavia. Buy his book, House to House. It will tell you about when we were actually trying to win the war in Iraq and did, about the Second Battle of Fallujah. Best book you will read about that war. And hopefully we won't have to read about our guys coming home on their shields anymore.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.